720 WGN, our continuing coverage of the chaos in Washington. On the line with us now, we've got Representative Sean Kasten from the 6th District here in Illinois. Congressman, welcome to WGN.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Congressman, it's Steve Bertrand. Let's just start with how it ended for you. Take us to the House chamber and what happened the moments that you were and your colleagues were evacuated. How did that work?
Well, so most of us were not in the chamber today. Because of COVID, we recognized what was going on, there were a limited number of us who were on the floor. We were asked to keep under 44 people on the floor at all times. So I was in my office, as were most of my colleagues, watching the proceedings. We were expecting to be called once debate went on. Now, our job today is ministerial. There should be no reasonable debate. But Mr. Gosart did, along with Senator Cruz, did initiate debate on Arizona. And as that debate began, we saw news of what was happening outside. I think we're all sitting here watching Twitter and seeing the news. And then, saw Mr. McGovern at the House into recess about the time that we heard that the protesters had broken into the chamber. And we are all doing our best now to follow the protocols and stay in safe places hope that no one gets hurt. I'm saying there's already been a number of people that have been hurt. Hopefully we can get this under control before anyone else gets hurt.
Congressman, this is Ryan Burrow from the WGN Newsroom. What did you anticipate that something like this could have happened? I know it's been kind of bantered around that, President Trump isn't going to go quietly, and we knew about the large gathering of protesters over the last couple days in Washington, D.C., and the remarks he was going to make to this rally. I mean, was this something that was in the back of your mind as a possibility, perhaps the overtaking of the U.S. Capitol?
Well, I don't think anybody, you have to have a pretty dark mind to anticipate something that's never happened in our history before. I think the last time there have been people opposed to democracy taking over the Capitol, it was the British. Now having said that, Washington, D.C. has been a nervous place the last 48 hours. I joke to my family that the population of Washington seems to be a lot fatter and more bearded and whiter than it usually is. I said that sort of jokingly, but also that there was a bit of a threat of menace to the point that I told my staff 2 days ago to get out safely and, not linger around, because as I was walking across the mall on the way going home, just saw some people who were looking for trouble.
Well, we've seen video of protesters with the shields breaking through windows of the Capitol and then climbing through the windows. We've seen someone sitting in the presiding officer's seat in the U.S. Senate, where Vice President Pence had been just about 90 minutes ago now, I guess, presiding over these objections on the Senate side. I know a couple of the House buildings, or at least one, was locked down first. Was that yours? And is there been anyone in the office buildings? We've got reports that the senators are in their sort of hideout offices and they can hear protesters banging on their doors.
I think it would not be prudent to disclose locations of where people are, but certainly we're still in Washington. We're hoping to get back to work. I think the morning has been a flood of alerts from the Capitol Police, between buildings being locked down, suspicious packages, streets being blocked off. I think it's probably reasonable to assume that not every one of those threats turned out to be violent, but a significant number did. There have been buildings that have been evacuated and then brought back. And I think we are all, I think, becoming painfully aware of what it is like to live inside one of these horrible mass shootings that our country has gone through.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Representative Sean Kasten from the 6th District. And, Congressman, of course, you mentioned that you could not have imagined people storming the Capitol, and you sort of knew what was going to happen as far as the plan or process with disputing the electors. Did it not go to plan? Did maybe the people that were calling for this, the Republicans and some of those members, did this get out of hand for them, or was this something that they saw as a possibility?
Look, I can't read their mind. What I can say with certainty is that anybody who is a student of history should understand precisely the risks that you unleash when you are in a position of power and you suggest that the rule of law does not apply equally to everybody, when you tell people to stand by, when you suggest that it's okay to use the kind of rhetoric that Trump has used and suggest that somehow, even though we had a free and fair election, if you're unhappy with the result, people in a position of power will make it better for you.
Should he be?
Our history as a species, we have plenty of examples that we know exactly what happens when you unleash that. Did my colleagues do that willingly or out of idiocy? I don't know. But it was deeply, deeply irresponsible.
Could you argue, will there be, I know you wouldn't argue, but I would imagine there are going to be protesters today who are going to argue that this has been a success for them. They wanted to put off at least the certification of the vote or the vote by the Congress to ratify the Electoral College, and they won. They got that done today.
You have to have an extremely dark view of the importance of this job to call that a success. None of us in this job, from myself as a member of Congress to the President of the United States, are individually important people. But we have exceptionally important jobs. We have a job that is predicated on upholding the rule of law in a democracy. The minute we put our own self above that job, we risk everything. There is nothing successful about today. If the folks who are unhappy with the outcome of an election succeed in tearing down our democracy, that is not a win.
What is next? How do we move forward in this certification process to an inauguration at this point? I mean, is it possible? Could everyone convene via Zoom? I mean, it seems like the Capitol, U.S. Capitol, is out of commission right now.
Look, what needs to be done right now is not tremendously complicated. Donald Trump needs to act like he is the President of the United States. He needs to stand up and say, we had a free and fair election. It has been my dignity and my honor to serve the country for the last 4 years, and we are now going to transfer power, as we have done at every point in our history, to Joe Biden, who won the election, and I will do everything I can to make that as seamless as possible. That is what adults do. It is what presidents do. He has the ability to ease back on the temperature. He also has the ability to immediately call in the National Guard and make sure that we are not relying on the Washington, D.C. police and the Capitol Police to protect us against an attempted coup against the United States government. That is what has to happen next. Get the situation under control, and then we can move on from there.
This is a coup?
I don't know what else to call it. When the President of the United States loses an election and tells people that incites them to violence and encourages them to go and march down the hill, and then this happens. This is an act of domestic terrorism. It needs to be dealt with as such.
Congressman Sean Casten, thank you very much for your time today. I know it is a difficult day for you, and you've helped us understand just exactly what's going on there.
Thank you.